just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudin. Dan Rudin. A walk-on senior, subject of a feature article in yesterday's student newspaper, The Observer. After toiling for 2 years at Carnegie Field and...
Go get it, kid!
Super Bowl Sunday, and I thought it appropriate to open today's message with a football illustration from one of the better movies of all time. Can I get a witness? Rudy, right? Now, Rudy is a movie based on a real person. Rudy Rudiger was his name, and he grew up with a dream of going to Notre Dame and playing football for the Irish. He grew up in a big family, large Catholic family, but he had dyslexia, and he played high school football, but then he went to the Navy for 2 years, and then he worked in a factory for a couple of years. Couldn't quite get the grades to get into Notre Dame, so he had to go to a different school, and on his fourth try, Notre Dame finally accepted him as a student. But then he walked on the football team, because the coach at that time encouraged walk-ons, but he was only a scout player. But due to his resilience and his persistence, finally on the last game of the year, the crowd is chanting Rudy. They put him in on the last part of the game, and no, Hollywood didn't make this up. He did sack the quarterback and became the first ever Notre Dame football player to be carried out of the stadium on the shoulders of the other players. That's a great story. Just makes me want to clap just telling the story. It's awesome, isn't it? Now, Rudy, I share that story with you today because our message today is how to pray like a crazy woman. You got notes that you can follow along in your story. We're talking about persistence and consistency and not giving up. We are in a 40-day prayer challenge, and today is day 21. So today is just a day past the halfway point of a 40-day prayer challenge. Now, if you're not yet part of the challenge, or this is your first Sunday here, what we're simply asking everyone to do is to take time every day for 40 days to pray. Find a place, find a time where you're talking to God. One person sent me an email this past week. They said, Pastor, I'm not sure I've ever prayed 40 days in a row for anything, much less the same thing 40 days in a row. And that's the goal here today, because what we're trying to do is build the habit of prayer. We're trying to become people who pray, not just once in a while or hit and miss, but consistent, faithful prayers. So I want to throw out a challenge again. If you haven't started, join in today. If you started to kind of falling off, let's be consistent like Rudy. Can I get a witness, right? Now, the idea here today is don't give up. Don't quit. Be persistent. It's kind of reminds me of the story of a pastor who had a parrot. All the parrot would say was, let's pray, let's pray. The pastor tried to teach him to say other things, but to no avail. He learned that one of his board members of his church had a parrot. That parrot would only say, let's kiss, let's kiss. So the pastor decided to invite the board member and his parrot over to his house. So when the board member arrived, they put the parrots into the same cage to see what would happen. The deacon's parrot said, let's kiss, let's kiss. The pastor's parrot said, thank you, Lord. My prayers have been answered. How many know there's great power in prayer? Some of you are going to go home and say, let's pray, let's pray. That was free. Part of the vision of the 40-day prayer challenge is not just learning how to pray, but how to be consistent in prayer. And that brings us to our scripture here today in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He must have known that that would have been a temptation for us, that we would lose heart when we pray. So he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her by continually coming, she weary me. Now this is a story about a widow who said, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up until I get what I came for. Her persistence bordered on craziness. As a matter of fact, it's right there in the Bible in the New Living Translation. Look at what it says. The judge said, this woman is driving me crazy. That's what the judge said. This is a crazy woman. She won't leave me alone. Now, we don't know what injustice had been done to this woman. She was a widow, and a widow in that culture had zero rights. She could have lost her property. She could have lost money. Maybe somebody could have taken advantage of the situation that she was a widow. Maybe she had a son who was falsely accused and in prison. But for whatever reason, we know that she was on a mission, and she wasn't going to take no for an answer. So the woman in this story is a little unorthodox in her approach. I mean, no, she could have waited for her day in court and go up to the judge and made her case all laid out and presented it real, real good to the judge. But the Bible says she didn't do that. She goes to the judge's house and knocks on the door. She finds the judge in the marketplace. Hey, judge, remember me? Don't forget this face, because I'm going to find you. I'm going to follow you until you give me justice. Crazy woman is what it says. Now, how many know if she would have done that today in our culture, she would have been arrested. There would have been a restraining order put out by that judge. Make that woman leave me alone. But this parable reveals something about prayer that I think sometimes we miss. And that's this. God honors persistent prayers. I'm going to say that again. God honors persistent prayers. It's right there in the book, right? God honors people who are serious about getting an answer from him. Think about it. Jesus honored a prostitute who crashed the party at a Pharisee's home so she could anoint Jesus' feet for his crucifixion. Jesus honors Zacchaeus, who climbs a tree so that he could see Jesus. Jesus honors four friends who cut a hole in the roof of somebody's house. Now some of you we're listening to this message. It sounds like Jesus is endorsing criminal activity. No, he's not. He is honoring persistence because these four dudes had cut a hole in the house of somebody so that they could lower their friend in front of Jesus so he could be healed. And in this parable, Jesus honors a crazy woman who drives a judge crazy because she wouldn't stop until she got justice. Now watch this. Every time you pray, every time you kneel down during this 40-day prayer challenge, you know what you're doing? You're knocking on the door of the judge. You're knocking on the door. And you know what? Here's the amazing part. The parable says that this judge didn't fear God, didn't care about anybody, but the God that you're praying to, the judge that you're praying to, he loves you with an everlasting love. He's your father. And the Bible says it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Am I in the right place today? So God is not like that unjust judge. He loves us. He cares deeply for us. So why would God put this in the Bible? Because apparently persistence in prayer is pretty important. Now, if you've been reading the book, The Circle Maker, Mark Batterson gives an illustration of the power of persistence. Listen to this. In standardized math tests, Japanese children consistently score higher than their American counterparts. Some assume that perhaps Japanese children have more of a natural bent toward mathematics, and that could be the primary reason for the difference in the scores. But researchers have discovered that it may have more to do with effort than ability. In one study involving first graders, students were given a difficult puzzle to solve. The researchers weren't interested in whether or not the children could solve the puzzle. They simply wanted to see how long they would try before they gave up. The American children lasted, on average, 9.47 minutes. The Japanese children lasted 13.93 minutes. In other words, the Japanese children tried 47% longer. Is it any wonder why they score higher on math exams? Researchers concluded that the difference in math scores might have less to do with intelligence quotient, IQ, and more to do with persistence quotient, PQ. The Japanese first graders simply tried harder. Now, that study not only explains the difference in standardized math scores, the implications are true in every area of life: athletics, academics, music, or math, or prayer. There are no shortcuts. There are no substitutes. Success is a derivative of persistence. I know I sound like I'm at a seminar, you know, a self-help seminar. Success is the derivative of persistence. More than a decade ago, Anders Ericsson and his colleagues at the Berlin's Elite Academy of Music did a study with musicians. And with the help of professors, they divided violinists into three groups: world-class soloists, good violinists, and those who are unlikely to play professionally. All of them started playing around roughly the same age, and they practiced about the same amount of time until the age of 8. And that's when their practice habits diverged. The researchers found that by the age of 20, the average players had logged about 4,000 hours of practice time. The good violinists totaled about 8,000 hours of practice time, and the elite performers set the standard with 10,000 hours of practice time. While there's no denying that innate ability dictates some of your potential is only tapped through persistent effort. Persistence is the magic bullet. Hallelujah. This is from the book, and the magic number seems to be 10,000. Now watch this. The emerging picture from such studies is that 10,000 hours of practice is required to achieve a level of mastery associated with being a world-class expert in anything. Notes neurologist Daniel Levitin. In study after study of composers, basketball players, fiction writers, ice skaters, concert pianists, chess players, master criminals, I guess you can practice that too, and what have you, this number comes up again and again. No one has yet found a case in which true world-class expertise was accomplished in less time. It seems that it takes the brain that long to assimilate all that it needs to know to achieve true mastery. Now, did I lose you? Is prayer any different? No. The answer is no. Pastor, are you trying to say that in order for our prayers to get answered, I got to log 10,000 hours of prayer? How many know that would be a real prayer challenge? That would be a whole different challenge. That's not what we're saying at all. But I am saying that just like everything else, if I want to see effectiveness in prayer, I've got to be persistent in prayer. If I want to see effectiveness in prayer, I've got to be persistent in prayer. Now, Jesus doesn't just use this persistence principle about prayer just here in the Bible about the widow. It's multiple times in the Bible. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 11, we covered this a couple weeks ago, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray. And we said, we want to learn how to pray. Pastor Jeff preached about this, you know, the Lord's Prayer. You may have heard it. It's on the screen if you'd like to read it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's right up there. You can read it. Okay, go ahead. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, when it comes to learning how to pray, the problem is we stop right there. Now, that's a great model of how to pray. That's a great pattern of the content of your prayers, right? But the conversation about prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he wasn't done yet. He was still talking about prayer. It's kind of like listening to a voicemail and half the message gets cut off and you only get part of the message. That's kind of how we treat this passage, because Jesus had a few more things to say about how to pray. He didn't just talk to them about the content of their prayers. He then goes on to talk about the persistence of their prayers. Let's keep going in Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. This is right after he gave them the Lord's Prayer, same conversation. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, are you watching this? Yet because of your, I'm reading the NIV on purpose, your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So when the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, he gives them the content of their prayers, the Lord's Prayer, and then he gives them the same picture of the widow, except in a different story about the not just the crazy woman, but the picture of someone who is in need and says, I'm not going to take no for an answer. He keeps knocking on the door at night. He goes to his friend's house, knocks on the door, knock, 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 knock. Hey, you. I mean, he's throwing rocks at the window. Get up. His friend says, dude, it's 1 a.m. We're in bed. Leave me alone. But Jesus said that he kept asking. He wouldn't leave the dude alone. He gets up, gives him what he needs. Now watch this. The Bible says it wasn't because he liked him. Matter of fact, I'm not sure if their friendship would have survived such an experience. But the Bible says, Jesus said, he gave him what he wanted because of his shameless audacity. Right? Jesus is saying, watch this, don't just pray right, pray hard. Well, don't miss this. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he says, here's the content of your prayers, and here's the effort of your prayers. Are you getting this? Don't just pray right, pray hard. Don't just say the right words. Now, the content of your prayers are very important because we can't just make up stuff and ask God whatever we want. Our prayers need to be aligned with God's word because God's word is God's will. Am I in the right church? But Jesus is saying there is an important principle of prayer called praying consistently. He said, pray with shameless audacity. Now, let me see a show of hands who before today thought shameless audacity would be something that Jesus would endorse. Yeah, me neither. But there it is in the Bible. The New Living Translation calls it, keep knocking long enough. Another translation says, not ashamed to keep asking. The New Century Version says, with boldness. Another version says, brashness. The question is, do any of those words describe your prayer life? Or mine? These words would describe the woman in our story. Jesus is saying, don't just pray one time. Don't just pray when it's convenient. Pray until something happens. Remember that old acrostic people used to talk about? Push, pray until something happens. Pray until God answers. Pray, don't give up. Pray like a crazy woman, Jesus is saying. Now, after the rest of this, it gives them the Lord's Prayer. It gives them the illustration of knocking on the door until you get an answer. And then verse 9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. So Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Pastor, what's he talking about? Well, I grew up in church, and we used to call this kind of praying grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and not letting go until you prayed through. Anybody ever heard the term pray through? We haven't talked about that much these days, right? We're talking about grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and just praying until there's a breakthrough. Some of you are going, horns in the altar? Sounds like it's a dangerous place to come up here and pray. Are there horns at the altar? No, it's a picture of the Old Testament tabernacle when the priests would go in to intercede for the people of Israel to God on their behalf, right? And there were actually horns there that they would grab hold to as they would intercede for the people of God. I've got some good news. The Bible says you don't need a priest anymore because Jesus is your high priest. His blood tore the veil, right? We sang about it. His blood tore the veil. So the Bible says now I can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Insert this verse here. I can come with shameless audacity. I can come with brashness. I can come with boldness and ask God for help in the time of need. Grab hold of the horns of the altar until God moves. Don't let go of the promise until God begins to move on your behalf. Write this down on your notes. Persistence in prayer is just as important as the promises of prayer. It's right there in the scripture. And so we hear that and we think, well, Pastor, that's not right. That doesn't sound right. God doesn't care how persistent I pray. Then why is it in the Bible? Multiple times. Persistence in prayer is just as important as the promises in prayer. Think about it. What if the Israelites had stopped circling Jericho on day 6? They didn't do what they were supposed to do on day 7. What if Elijah had stopped praying for rain after his 6th request? What if Naaman had only dipped in the water 6 times? The answer is obvious, right? The miracle that they had been praying for would have been forfeited just before it happened, just before it was coming. Now, I don't know what you've been praying about for the past 21 days or the past 21 weeks or the past 21 years. I don't know if you've received a yes, a no, or a not yet. Now, if you've received a yes, then praise God. We need to thank God. If God's moving in your life, several of you have sent me emails and messages saying, hey, God's already doing it, then you ought to be the lead worshiper. You ought to be the loudest. Hey, thank you, Jesus. If there's a no, if the answer is a no, then you should be thanking God because he's working all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. We sang that, right? But if your answer is a not yet, you haven't seen it yet, then I've got some encouragement for you. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep believing. Keep knocking. Keep seeking until God brings the answer. Somebody say amen. Listen, if the Israelites had stopped circling Jericho after the 6th day, not only would they have forfeited the first victory in the promised land, there was so much more to it than that because they would have forfeited the promised land altogether. Because if they hadn't had that first victory, it's very unlikely they would have had experienced victories after that. They did not stop. And listen to this. If you don't quit, hear me clearly. If you don't quit, if you'll learn to pray hard and pray through, can I go ahead and tell you? The victory is inevitable. Oh, you don't believe me, do you? If you'll pray hard, if you'll pray through, I believe your victory, the breakthrough is inevitable. Just like the widow driving that judge crazy, if we'll learn to pray like a crazy woman, he'll open the door. Stop bothering me! There are certain moments in your life, though, when we feel like quitting, right? But when you quit praying, you don't just compromise the present. Every promise and every miracle and every blessing for your future can be forfeited. Listen, if you call it quits, you can be assured that what you're praying for won't happen. If you call it quits, you can be assured that what you're praying for won't happen. But hear me when I say, if you don't quit, anything is possible. Anything is possible if you don't quit. Now, when I was trying to think of crazy women this week, I was like, who are the crazy women that I know? When I was thinking about that, I thought about Rita Norwood. Can I get a witness? That she comes to mind when I think of a crazy woman. And Rita was here in the first service, but I asked her permission to share this story because what happened, Rita and Jim and her family, they have been part of our church since before Tracy and I got here. So those of you that are maybe a little nervous, maybe about going into the new sanctuary with all the changes, talk to the Norwoods, all right? They've seen a whole lot more changes than just about everybody else, and they're good with it, so that's good. But she came to me in the year 2000, and she said, Pastor, God spoke to me that I'm supposed to, God gave me a vision, he gave me direction that I'm supposed to build a home in Johnson County for young women with crisis pregnancies. And that this is going to be a place where girls who were in trouble could come and it would be a safe place. That, you know, there wouldn't be pressure for them to have an abortion. But if they wanted to have their baby, they could. If they wanted to have somebody adopt the baby, they could do that. And, you know, they were kicked out of their homes for whatever reason and they would need a place to stay. And so she came to me, she said, God told me that I'm supposed to build this home. God even gave her the name for the home. It's called Angel Care. And so that was 14 years ago. But Angel Care did not happen immediately. In fact, all along the way, there's been obstacles, there's been challenges, there have been stuff, right? There's the issue of raising money, finding property, zoning, and so many other things. And so for 14 years, you know what, Rita, and many of you have been helping her. For 14 years, Rita's been doing this. I'm hurting my knuckles. I mean, man, that woman really must have been crazy. You know, Rita's been knocking on the door. In fact, I'm happy here today to tell you that this summer, Angel Care is going to break ground in Bargersville, Indiana, and very soon that home is going to be built because a crazy woman wouldn't stop pestering the judge, wouldn't stop until she saw it come to pass. That's right. You can give God praise. Now, as an encouragement to Rita, and if you want to support crazy women like her, some of you say, matter of fact, somebody sent me a message yesterday on Facebook. They said, I sent an invitation about your service, you know, to come to church tomorrow, come learn how to pray like a crazy woman. And my reply from my daughter was, I grew up with one in my house all my life, so I know what that's like. So, but anyway, over here to my right and to my left, there are tables filled with these angel cards, angel care jars. And the idea here is for you to take one. I'd like to encourage everybody that would take one with you. You leave it on your dresser, leave it somewhere in your house, and you put change in it, okay? And it's just one way to contribute to Angel Care. There's an immediate financial need coming up for them that they need your help. And one way to do it is to take one of these jars, take it with you, fill it up. Now, the key is, this is how this works, you have to bring it back with money in it, okay? So after the service, there'll be people up at these tables. Take one of these with you. I've had one of these on my dresser for, I don't know, probably a couple of years now. And it's amazing what God can do with just a little bit of change. So I want to encourage you to be part of that. Now, I want to invite our worship team to come, and we're going to bring this to a point of decision, because the question for us here today is, how serious are we about seeing God move? How desperate are you to get an answer from God? Now listen closely. Desperate enough to spend the whole night in prayer? Well, that would be crazy. Desperate enough to add fasting with your prayers? Oh, Pastor, now you're really talking crazy. Well, by the way, we're going to do that in a couple weeks, so just go ahead and prepare yourself. How many times are you willing to stand on the promise and ask God to bring this promise that exists in the spiritual realm and to see it manifest in the physical realm? How long are you willing to ask? 21 days? 40 days? Or till the day you die? How long are you going to knock on the door? Till your knuckles hurt? Or until you knock the door down? The challenge today is to intercede until God intervenes. Ask until you get an answer. Seek God until you see God move. Knock until you know the door is open. Pray until something happens. Because the judge, he actually wants to do it for you. Now, let's go back to that Rudy clip. Because when I was watching that clip earlier this week, I started crying. I'm like, you can't cry over that movie. It's Notre Dame, for goodness sake. But let me tell you why tears started coming to my eyes, because when I saw the crowd cheering and they started chanting, Rudy, 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 God gave me a picture and it brought a verse to my memory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, here's the verse that came to my mind. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. When I was watching that video, go ahead and play the video, guys. Keep it going. I want to see this, because when I was seeing that video and I seen the crowd cheering from the stands, God gave me a picture. Because of Hebrews, the scripture says that there's a crowd in heaven that's leaning over the balconies of eternity, and they're looking down on us here today, and they're starting to chant, Bruce, go Bruce, Bruce, keep on, Bruce, don't you quit, Bruce, you keep on, Bruce, come on, Bruce, let's go. There's people in this room that have family and friends that have gone on to heaven, and they're chanting your name, David, 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 David. Don't you quit, David. Don't you give up, David. They're cheering you on. Mary, Mary, insert your name. Me, me. They're saying there may even be a widow in heaven, and there may be a man with shameless audacity, saying, don't quit. Don't stop asking. Don't stop praying. Don't stop getting on your knees. Don't give up. Because the God that you serve can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can think or even think up in your head. That's straight out of the Bible. Amen? If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I want to be like that crazy woman. I want to learn to pray like a crazy woman. I want persistence. I don't want to be so quick to give up. Today, I would love to have an extra measure of faith when it comes to prayer. Maybe even in the last few days, you've thought about quitting or whatever. But everybody here today, you know, you just say, you know what? I want to be more like that. Would you stand to your feet if that's you? All across this room. I want to be more like that. I want to pray like a crazy woman. I want to ask God with shameless audacity. I want to pray without ceasing. If that's you right where you're standing, would you begin to ask God to do it? We are far from done, but go ahead and ask God right where you're standing. Lord, help me to pray like a crazy woman. Help me to pray and never give up. Help me to not quit. Help me, Lord God, to not give up so quickly. God, give me faith today. Give me an extra measure of faith. Lord, for all the challenges that are in my life, God, I've been praying for so many years, and God, I don't want to give up. You don't want me to give up. So today, God, I pray that you would infuse in my heart a supernatural determination. Lord, a persistence quotient, God, not to give up, but to be consistent, to pray. Let it be God. Let it be God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to listen closely to me here today. Some of you, when we were talking about the imagery of somebody knocking on the door, some of you know what that sounds like because that's what the Holy Spirit has been doing to you recently. And that sound of knocking on the door is the prayers of a grandmother or a mom or a dad who's been praying for their son, their daughter, their family member to get right with God. So that knocking that you hear is the voice of God drawing you to himself because he loves you. And he won't quit. He won't quit until you die. He will not quit because he loves you that much. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I sense the Spirit of God knocking on the door of my heart. Things aren't right between me and Jesus. And today, I want to be right with God. I want to be part of the family of God. If you're here today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over this room. Say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to make things right with God today. I sense God knocking on the door of my heart. I need Jesus today. Would you raise your hand all over this room? That's you. God bless 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 you. Many, many hands are raised all over this room. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down for just a moment. How many are here today? You say, Pastor, I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle. I can't do it. Only God can do it. Could be a healing miracle, a financial miracle, the miracle of an open door. You say, Pastor, I'm praying for God to do a miracle in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand up real high? God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm getting tired of asking. I'm getting tired of believing. The promise is not here. And today, I need help from heaven. I need an extra grace of faith today to believe that God will bring to pass what he said he will do. If that's you, raise your hand up real high. God bless you. God bless you. I want to invite our small group leaders, our pastors, their spouses, our elders to come and stand all across this room here today. If you would quickly come, if you would, leaders, come and stand all the way across the front and spread out if you don't mind. Because there are many people today who raise their hands and say, for I need to get right with God. I need a miracle in my life. Or I need an extra measure of faith instead of giving up. If you're one of those people that raised your hands, in just a moment, I want you to come and find one of these leaders of the church, and we're going to pray with you. Now, leaders, I need to give you some instructions. Couples need to split up. There's going to be a lot of people coming, all right? So spread out and make sure that we're going to have room enough to pray for everybody. I believe there's an anointing here for prayer. You may not believe it. I believe there's an anointing here to change people's lives. I believe there's an anointing here to give you an extra measure of faith. I believe there's an anointing here that can do miracles if we will simply say, yes, God. Yes. And by coming up to this place today, this is your way of grabbing hold of the horns of the altar and believing that God's going to bring it to pass. Amen. If you raised your hand for any of those reasons, come and let's pray. Come on, get out of your seat. Come to one of these leaders. Let's pray and let's seek the Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb, for you are holy.
Thank you, God.
Holy are you, Lord God, Almighty.
Almighty Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Oh, for you are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. the Lord God Almighty reign. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty, He reigns. He reigns. Hallelujah. Holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, for You are holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Today is that You would make us like this crazy woman and not give up. Our prayer today is that You would give us persistence. We pray, God, that You would give us resilience in every area of our life, but especially in the area of prayer. God, remind us of the people that are cheering us on from heaven. God, let us hear that noise. And we pray, God, that You would give us grace and faith to finish the race. Not only to finish and complete this challenge, but to finish the whole race following You. God, we pray today for our Jericho. We pray for that thing that we're believing for. And we ask You to move sovereignly on behalf of every person that's praying. God, we pray that You would give justice. We pray, oh God, that You give an answer according to Your will so that the world will know the God we serve is alive, the God that we serve is faithful, and He does all things well. We commit all of these things to You, God. We commit this service, all of our commitments, we commit them to You. Now help us, oh God, to follow You with all of our hearts. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. There are others who are still praying, so I'm going to ask you to
honor them with your reverence and leave quietly. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. We love you.